This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. There's a bit of a boom going on in downtown Greensboro. Just look at the increase in housing down here. Over the last 12 years, the number of housing units has tripled, more than tripled, growing from 500 to 1,700. Residents of the Triad are eager to see how Greensboro will continue to develop its downtown. Jeff DeBeery is WUNC's Greens Bureau Chief, and he joins us on the program now with an update on development and more in the Triad. Welcome back, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Frank.
So let's talk about the development efforts in Greensboro. What does that look like at the moment?
It looks a lot different than it did 10 or 15 years ago. There's a minor league baseball stadium. There are thousands of people living downtown, more restaurants, more retail, and there are these continued big ideas. The Greenway is coming to fruition. It's a Greenway that will be done in 6 or 7 years, but part of it is already concluded. There is a strong voice behind this effort for the Greensboro Performing Arts Center, or some kind of Performing Arts Center, might be a different name. The food trucks are downtown. There is a city center park that wasn't here 10 years ago, so it looks very different than it did just a decade ago.
Some part of this is a group called Downtown Greensboro Incorporated. Tell us about that group.
DGI, as it's known around here, gets about $900,000 a year from the city, and they're largely a marketing and promotional arm of the city for events that are taking place downtown to try to get people to come out and experience what wasn't here 10, 15 years ago. They're also in charge of keeping the streets clean and hiring security at times and several different responsibilities, but the marketing and the promotional arms are really the biggest responsibilities for them.
And so who serves on that group?
It's about 30 people. It's a nonprofit. Everybody is a volunteer, and it is a group that folks that support this group and folks that will tell you they're doing great work say that they're doing a lot and they're working very hard with not a ton of money, and they have helped. They have been a component of growing downtown.
But there is some controversy. I noticed that there are those who are there. It has its detractors.
It does. Specifically, the couple of city council members, the mayor, have come forward in recent weeks and in the last month and a half, and said they don't like the vision of DGI, that they want to see more out of DGI. And to some, there's a little bit of an irony here because the city has kind of dragged its feet and kicked the bucket along, so to speak, when it comes to things like the Durham Performing Arts Center, when it comes to finalizing a noise ordinance. There's been an issue here on South Elm Street between restaurants and nightclubs and noise and how to deal with the noise issue and some of the violence. So the city wants DGI to do more. What exactly it wants DGI to do is not clear at this point, at least not to me.
Well, it might be a victim of its own success in some ways. Once you start to improve things and people begin to see it can happen, your expectations begin to grow maybe beyond your means in some way.
I think that's part of it. I think also that it couldn't hurt for some young faces to be involved in this discussion. There's so much of the business owners and the people who are involved in downtown, they are perhaps more youthful than everyone who's involved in the decision-making process.
Well, one organization that literally has deep roots in this city is the Deep Roots Food Co-op, which is moving downtown. Tell us about that.
The roots started in a dorm room in the 1960s in Guilford College as a vegetarian buying club. And it's been
a vegetarian buying club in a dorm room. That just sounds like scraping the inside of your refrigerator. That's awful.
Just going to let that linger.
Okay.
Not going to touch it.
All right.
Started there, has been on Spring Garden Street a few miles away for the past 20 or so years. And this grocery store, this market opened yesterday, the soft opening on the northern side of downtown, right near a pretty affluent neighborhood with more people living downtown next to this neighborhood. People really think this is a great spot for it. It's a co-op. And there was some confusion as I started to do this story and report it out. People thought, oh, I can't shop there if I'm not a member, which isn't the case with this co-op. Has about 2,000 owners, and they think that another 50 people signed up yesterday. They think they're going to have another 1,000 owners by the end of the year.
Well, it's interesting because there's a place, and I know occasionally in these conversations about development, Durham will come up as a kind of comparison, and often people will say, well, why aren't we up with Durham? But here, Greensboro is actually ahead of Durham, which amazingly doesn't have a co-op supermarket of its own, though I'm working with some good people to change that. But it is interesting that Greensboro's ahead and that this market is now at a place where it can move kind of close to downtown.
I don't believe Durham or Raleigh has a downtown full-service, one-stop grocery option. Parking, I know, I have heard, has been an issue in Durham. That's not an issue here. Pretty big parking lot, which is good for folks as well.
Yeah. Well, so that's great. And so it's likely to serve then. Tell us again about the demographics and who would come and shop there.
This is a store that I would say is similar to a Fresh Market or a Whole Foods. Most of the food and things that are offered there is organic. Not everything is organic, but almost
sustainably raised anyway. Yeah.
Sustainably raised, and a lot of locally grown produce and local craft beers, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, that is good news for downtown. Let's talk a little bit about, and change gears a little bit, some updates for the aviation industry in the Triad, and I want to talk about new developments at Timco. Tell us about Timco.
Timco is an RMO, or MRO, maintenance, repair, and overhaul. So they do some manufacturing of parts for both Airbuses and Boeings. They've got almost 2,000 employees here. They work out of four hangars over at PTI, and they are growing. They have consistently been growing. They got to the point 2-3 years ago that they were having trouble finding qualified employees. So they built, created, helped a pipeline with Guilford Technical Community College. So they have regularly hired. They've worked with training prospective workers and then really just brought them into Timco. Over the last couple of years, they've gotten to the point they're so big they're turning away business. They don't have enough space to do all of the things they're being asked or considered to do. So they're considering a $30 million expansion. They want to hire roughly about 400 new people, and they are asking both the city and the county for $400,000 each in economic incentives. And, you know, we've had this conversation before about economic incentives. They're going to have a public hearing from the city's perspective a week from Tuesday, and then the county, if before it would give economic incentives, it too would have to hold a public hearing.
Well, talk about the debate over incentives, and particularly in this case.
This case is interesting because Timco is here. They have deep roots here, and I think there are some folks, the proponents of this say, you know, they could, one of the places that has been mentioned is Cincinnati. They say, you know, Timco could take these jobs elsewhere, take this expansion elsewhere. What's $800,000 in the overall scheme of things? Let's give them the money. Let's, you know, support this business, this entity being here. And I think some of the detractors, the opponents of this have said, listen, they're here. They're not going to go anywhere. They've already, you know, they've continued to grow. They haven't received considerable financial incentives in recent years. They have 2,000 employees. So let's work with them. Let's continue to build this program with Guilford Technical Community College. And economic incentives aren't going to keep them from being here.
And would it mean building new plant, larger plant, and, you know, sort of water considerations, infrastructure considerations that they would also want as incentives, larger, wider roads, more sewer, that sort of thing?
I have not heard that. If that's part of the negotiation or part of the conversation, that has not come out yet. What they're looking for is about 130,000 new square feet of space to build airplane parts and fix airplanes.
So, I mean, it's interesting because you talked about the relationship with Guilford Community College. Tell us more about that, because there, again, there's a direct public-private relationship. The public is paying for those educations, and they're direct beneficiaries of many of the students, right?
They essentially have created a tract at Guilford Tech where the folks from Timco are helping to navigate and create the courses and the curriculum and the material that students are going to learn, so that, you know, they're ready to be engineers or aviation technicians, and they're also specifically ready to work on some of the projects that Timco handles, so that they're really equipped to do what it is that Timco needs them to do.
Would there be any strings attached to the incentives? In other words, you have to keep the employees here for X amount of time, or we're not going to give it to you until you hire them all, something like that?
I think so. We're not quite that far along in the conversation, but that has been the case with other economic incentive deals in both Guilford and Forsyth County. When Dell left, for example, a few years ago from a plant in Forsyth County, it had to repay all of what the county had given it in economic incentives.
It's March. We're in North Carolina. We must talk about basketball.
We must.
So here we go. Basketball in the Triangle and the Triad. North Carolina A&T has had some recent success.
This is Cinderella. This is David versus Goliath. North Carolina A&T had an okay regular season. They were not expected to be here. They ran through the MEAC championship. They won it. They went to the first four in Dayton. They played two nights ago. They beat Liberty. And today, this evening, 6:50, they play Louisville. They're a 16 seed. No 16 seed has ever beaten a number one seed.
And until tonight.
Until tonight, perhaps. A&T is channeling Norfolk State. Last year, the team that represented their conference was a 15, and they knocked off a 2. So maybe, just maybe, the Aggies have a chance for what would really be history tonight.
Tonight is the night. Jeff, thank you so much for being in the program. Jeff Tiberi, WUNC's Greens Bureau Chief. Just ahead, novelist and UNCG professor talks about his latest book, The Constant Heart. But first, Bruce Pioff is here, and he is with Scott Sawyer. We're going to hear more from them later in the program, but they're going to play us out. But not until I say this is the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. We're coming back. Here's Bruce Pioff.
Don Quixote saddled me up, stealing once again to the maelstrom of another dream. As she bends the clouds above my head, stir a dying flame with the magic in her soft and sparkling eyes. She's rearranging notices behind the counter stand with scrambled words that seldom make a sound. And tomorrow she'll be back, New York City to stay. Well, I'll remain just a stranger to this town. By now she's a New York traveling lady. I'm just a broken clown. So I'll play the elegant loser and try to turn a smile from her front.